Welcome back to This Morning on CBC Radio 1. Coming up, Canada loses one of its shadowy men. Seem very familiar to TV comedy fans in this country, the opening to the 90s hit series The Kids in the Hall. The music was written and performed by Shadowy Men on a Shadowy Planet. Shadowy Men on a Shadowy Planet was one of the hippest groups around in the late 80s and early 90s. They made it cool to like instrumental music, among other things. One of the men behind the music and the fun was Reed Diamond. He was the bass player and co-wrote the band's music with his fellow members Don Pyle and Brian Connolly. Reed Diamond died on the weekend of brain cancer. He was only 42 years old. Peter Howell is a columnist with the Toronto Star. He covered pop music for the Star in the 90s, and he's here this morning. Peter, welcome back.
Welcome.
So, well, thank you. I enjoy being here myself. Thanks. Tell me why these shadowy men were so hip.
Well, aside from having probably the hippest band name ever, they were the guy. They approached music. They're totally instrumental, which for a Canadian band, well, for almost any band, is kind of unique.
Yeah.
None of them really wanted to be a singer. Although I think Reed was probably the closest that the band came to having a front man. He was the guy that would shout out the amusing non sequiturs from stage, and he often did most of the press, which is how I knew him through press contact and through being a fan of the music. But these guys were cool because they didn't want to be cool. They just wanted to have fun. And they weren't being goofy. They were just being. They were actually pretty good musicians, but it took them a while to get that way. And they were absolutely unpretentious, completely unpretentious guys. Particularly Reed. Reed would admit he knew nothing about new music, although he got to know a lot about it. When you saw them on stage, you wanted to dance along with what they did because it was just so much energy, so much excitement.
How big were they?
Well, you know, they were big enough that. It's the old thing about Canadian music, right? You're big enough that you can't afford to ride a car, but you can't ride the subway because people recognize you. But with the Shadowy Men, they could walk down the street, and I would say nobody would recognize them unless you were really into the Toronto music scene. You know, they could walk down Queen Street. But however, in the U.S., they were big enough that a very noted rock producer named Steve Albini, he heard about them through a Canadian roommate he had, and he invited them down to record them for free. He thought they were so great, he wanted to record them, which is rather an illustrious chapter. And they would get their albums reviewed in something like Spin magazine. So they were the hippest band that nobody knew about.
This is a Canadian story, really.
Yeah.
And no real stars in the group either, right?
Well, they were all stars. I mean, Reed was probably the most energetic kind of guy. He was the very funny guy, and he was also a performance artist, and he liked visual arts as well. I'd say he was the closest to a front man that they had. But they were like Pink Floyd in the sense that, you know, stop somebody on the street and ask them to name all three members of Shadowy Men, I think they might have a lot of trouble.
I think maybe the time I first heard of Reed Diamond was in an art context, not in a music context, and his association with the so-called parallel alternative galleries. Of
yeah, he had a very funny exhibit in Toronto last year called, it was a collection of cereal boxes that he did paintings and comments on the back of that he called Altered Flakes. he loved puns, so it was typically Reed Diamond type of exhibit.
How did he survive not making puns in his music, at least, you know, verbally?
Well, you'd have to ask his better friends how he did since he left Shadowy Men, but I think that he was the kind of guy that liked all kinds of media. He liked art, he liked music, he wanted to be part of the scene. He wanted to be in the background of the scene, but he wanted to be there on the scene. I think he just was happy to whatever was going.
Why did you like their music? I should ask you a longer question so you can have a sip of coffee. But
I like their music because they you could not help but feel good when you heard them, particularly when you saw them live. I mean, as a recorded act, you know, you had to be in kind of a strange mood to put on one of their albums because it was like 23 songs and they're all about a minute and 2 minutes each, and it was a real adrenaline burst. But in a live show, they would do goofy things like they'd have a bake sale from the stage or an auction, or they would bring on a friend on roller skates to hold up the titles of songs. And they made it an event, you know. And if I saw their name on a title for any kind of multiple act event, I went. because if there's a Shadowy Men, I was there. I didn't care what else was on the bill. They just had this capacity to make you want to get up and dance goofy.
One of the ways they had been identified, and I don't know that it pleased them a whole lot, was as a surf band, mm-hmm. playing surf music. Was that fair?
Well, I think they pretended not to like that. In fact, they had a song called "We're Not an Effing Surf Band."
We actually have that queued up, although I don't know that we'll get to the effing part, but let's just play a little bit of it. That's it.
Fortunately, being an all-instrumental band, they're practically censor-proof.
They can be played on CBC Radio in the morning. That's excellent. But you know what? They sound like a surfer band. I'm sorry.
Well, that's the shorthand description of them. But, you know, they would do music that people call psychobilly, and they would do, like, show tunes, and they would do just sort of obscure covers of stuff. They just, you know, they were an instrumental trio, an instrumental rock-pop trio.
Did they ever do Wipeout?
I never heard them play Wipeout, and I don't think they ever recorded it, but I imagine on some very dark nights when pubs were closed and people were you know, everybody was checked at the door, they might have played Wipeout. They'd never admit it, though.
Is there another band that has followed in the footsteps, the shadowy footsteps?
I don't think anyone could follow in the footsteps, and I hope nobody does, actually. But, you know, I mean, you could go backwards and say bands like The Ventures and The Surfaris and Dick Dale. I mean, there was a period in the mid-90s where when the movie Pulp Fiction hit, and it had a great opening instrumental song, Miserloo by Dick Dale, that was sort of the vanguard of instrumental kind of surfer music, and that was just sort of coincided almost the time when Shadowy Men was winding down. It's funny that, you know, they were around since about 84, and their great moment of fame, I guess they could have cashed in on Pulp Fiction, but typical of those guys, I don't think it really occurred to them to do that.
They could have, well, they did cash in to some degree. I don't know if they cashed in, but with Kids in the Hall, yeah.
Well, having an average weekend, you know, it's funny, that happened totally by accident. It's because Brian and Reed both, they grew up in Calgary with Bruce McCulloch from Kids in the Hall, and he liked them, and he loved this song, but they'd recorded it on tape back in 85, and I don't think Lorne Michaels was terribly thrilled about having the song. He was the producer of the show, but Bruce McCulloch prevailed. They got the song on, but they never at any point recorded that song for the show. The show just liked the song and took it, so it was a bonanza.
But it just ended up sort of capturing the spirit of the show, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, it was. I don't think you can separate it, and I think when the Kids in the Hall reunited a couple of years ago, there was a lot of hope the Shadowy Men would reunite, too, but unfortunately, it didn't come to pass.
Did you hear from Reed Diamond much after Shadowy Men kind of, you know,
well, it's
deflated?
Funny, you know, I have with me, and where did I put it? I have with this little green comb I've been carrying around. I had it at my desk for years. He formed a band called Phonocomb with Don Pyle, which is sort of similar. It was an extension of the same idea, but they added a vocalist for a couple of things, and it never quite had the same thing as Shadowy Men, but it was still nice to see him around. We would talk in interviews, and he would comment. He actually gave me one of the greatest scoops of my whole rock career, I thought, was he told me about how Steve Albini, who was also doing Nirvana's album, that Nirvana had decided they didn't want to use Steve Albini's production. They were going to trash the production. That turned out to be a much more complicated story than we all thought at the time. But Reed was the guy who tipped me off on that. So I always thanked Reed for that, for helping me out.
Shadowy Men's legacy, Peter, what would you say it was to Canadian music?
I think the legacy is just that we don't have very many instrumental groups in Canadian pop history. I mean, I'd have trouble naming other ones besides that one. And I think it's just the fact that it proved that we could do anything. The Canadians could be funny, we could be hip. I mean, long before the sort of the hip Toronto sound, Shadowy Men were kind of, they were it. They were showing that, you know, you could get up on stage and you didn't have to have a whole lot of background in music, and you could just create a band and you can make a statement. And, you know, they certainly made a statement. And anybody who loves Canadian music, they've got to enjoy Shadowy Men.
Peter, thanks very much. Good to talk to you.
You're welcome.
Peter Howell is a columnist with the Toronto Star, and now here is A Shadowy Man on a Shadowy Planet with Peas Porridge Rock.
Thank you.
That was not Pease Porridge Rock. That was Reed's situation. Shadowy men on a shadowy planet. Mea culpa. Mea culpa. Mea maxima culpa. I enjoy it sometimes.